Philippians 2, 5 to 11 says these words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue to dig a little bit deeper, so we can find out what it means to be that road to completion. I'm sure you know those words really well. Those words that you've probably heard and said many, many, many times. But there's so much richness in them that we need to learn from this morning. How many of you would agree with me this morning that your mindset has a massive impact on the way that you act, on the things that you achieve, how you live life, and the way that people interact with you? Your mindset is key. Because if you don't have the correct mindset, you will never be able to do the things that you want to achieve. For example, two people are facing the same problem. They both recently lost their jobs, but they both have different responses to the challenge they face. One person has a negative mindset. I've lost my job. I'll never find a better one again. What's the point in looking? That's it. Then the other person has a positive mindset and they say this: I may have lost my job, but thank goodness that there are other opportunities that I can explore. Two completely different mindsets. Whose attitude would you say is better? I guess it'd be the person with the positive mindset, because they go and they go out and they find their next challenge. While the person with the negative mindset might end up missing out because they're consumed with self-doubt and they never get to the place where they need to be. Our mindset has a really important impact on the way that we live our lives, whether we'll be successful or whether and live it to the full, or whether we won't. You see, having a positive mindset is a good thing. It will enable us to make the right decisions and to enjoy life. So that must be sorted then, right? If you've got a positive attitude and positive mindset, then that must be it. Well, no, it's not. It's not at all. We actually, even when we have a positive mindset, we can still make the wrong choices that lead us down the wrong paths. The truth is, we don't need so much a positive mindset as we do the mind of Christ. Positive mindset will get you some way, but you need the mind of Christ to be completely successful. You see, both positive and negative mindsets are part of human nature. You will know someone in your life that has a positive mindset. You will know someone in your life probably who has a negative mindset. Those kind of mindsets are based on our wants, our needs, our desires. Sometimes in the negative, they're based on our fears and our failures. But to get the best, because obviously the attitudes that we have in the world is to get the best, be the best, and do whatever it takes to reach that goal. But having the mindset of Christ is completely different. Its focus is not on self, but its focus is on Jesus and what he requires us to do. If you have the mindset of Christ, you will be successful. You will fulfill everything that God has for you and more. It's so much better than just having a positive mindset. Romans 8 verse 6 says this: for to set the mind on the flesh, the things that we want, is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is the complete opposite. It's life and it's peace. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your minds on the things that are above, the things of God, not on the things that are on the earth. So as we kind of go into this passage today, let's give ourselves a real brief recap from last week. Last week we looked at Paul's call for the believers to live a life worthy of the gospel. We saw that we have to live as citizens of heaven rather than of earth. We are to be united together in faith and in relationship, standing strong at the times when we face persecution. And then they're putting others before ourselves, not being proud or living for our own agenda. So as we look at our key reading that we've just read from verses 5 to 11, we continue with the theme of a life worthy of a gospel, just from a slightly different angle. As Paul encourages the Philippi believers and us about cultivating a mindset of Christ in our relationships, and how succeeding in this will help us on the goal to completion, the road to completion, to be like Jesus. So let's start with that first verse, shall we, from verse 5. It says this: we live in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You are very clever people. So what I'm about to say is, I'm sure you already know this, but did you know that God is interested in how you treat people that you have relationship with? Relationships matter to God. So if they matter to God, they should matter to you as well. How you treat people matters. Jesus has set the golden standard to how we should treat one another. He says things like, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a good way to live life, but it's also a hard way to live. When Paul mentions mindset in this verse, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, what does he mean? Well, the dictionary defines mindset as being the habitual or charismatic or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you interpret and respond to situations. As we've already mentioned, Christ's mindset is completely different to the world's, to the world's standards. He tells us he calls us even to a completely different way of living. You'll know this verse really well. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Simply put, to have the mind of Christ will enable you to navigate life's challenges, hear God's voice more clearly, and will set you up for better and deeper relationships with the people around you. So as Paul lays out the attributes of Christ's mindsets in verses 6 to 11, we see this description. I don't know about you, but I see it as a beautiful description of the God we serve and who he is. And we should be rightly in awe of who he is and what he's done. But that's not enough. It's not enough to pay lip service and say, that's a really nice description of Jesus. I like that. It's not enough to say it. We need to do it and put it into practice and apply that to our own mindset and thus into our relationships. So then we go into verse 6 and it says, who being in the very nature God, that's Jesus, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. What does being in the very nature God mean? Jesus is not just a good man. We don't believe in someone who was just nice to people. Because we know a lot of nice people, don't we, who are nice to one another. We don't even believe in someone who was like God. But we believe in Jesus Christ, who is God. And that's a really important distinction. He's not like God, he is God. He is part of the Trinity. He is God the Son. He has always existed and always will. And that can't be changed. That's what Paul is saying. It can't be changed. He is God. That's it. Revelation 22 verse 13 says this. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. That says to me, that's what Jesus said in Revelation. He was there at the beginning when the world was created. He was there at the end in Revelation. He's there in between and he's here now. He is God. He is God. Colossians 2 verse 9 says it like this. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and over every authority. Jesus, quite simply, is God this morning. It's quite simply God. And it goes on to say, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I wonder this morning, why do you do what you do? Why do you make the decisions that you make? What drives you to make those decisions? Is it a sense of entitlement? A sense of wanting to do the best for you? Is it just because we can do something this morning, does it mean that we should? You see, to have the mindset of Christ means to be willing to willingly sometimes take a step back, to pray and to ask God what he wants you to do, not what you think that you should do. Sometimes we learn most in what we don't do rather than actually what we end up doing. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. As the Son of God, Jesus could have come down to earth in all power, making people worship him and lord it over them to achieve what he wanted. He's God, after all, couldn't he? He can make any single person do exactly what he wanted to do. And he'd be in his right to do so. After all, he's God. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to lord it over humanity. What did he want to do? He wanted to draw people close to himself. To let them see that he understood their pain. To understand their frustrations and their suffering and their temptations. He allowed himself to go through those same things. Did you know he experienced physical limitations? There's parts in the Bible where it says that Jesus was tired. He was weary. You know, when he met the woman at the well, you know that he obviously did all the stuff and told her all the things that she never knew about. But why was he at the well in the first place? He was thirsty. He was tired. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to mourn the loss of loved ones. His friend Lazarus died. And you have probably the most emotional verse in the whole world, and the shortest verse in the whole world in John, which says, Jesus wept. He was a normal person who cried and mourned, just like we do. He was tempted by the devil in the desert for 40 days, or after having been away for 40 days, the devil came to him. He went through the greatest of anguish and pain when he died on the cross. He went through it all. Hebrews 2 verse 27 to 28 says, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus went through it all, but here's the distinction, is that he never sinned. He never sinned. And that is why the cross means so much. That is why we can be free. So why did Jesus do all of this? Why did he choose to do it in the way that he did? Why did he have that mindset? Why didn't he just stay up in heaven where it was all good and great? Because love drove him down. Love drove Jesus down to us. The second key then that Paul reveals for the mindset of Christ is to have the nature of a servant. The nature of a servant. Verse 7 says, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself nothing. Jesus didn't come to earth in all splendor and majesty as a king, like he will when he returns to claim his bride. There will be lots of trumpets and lots of fanfare when Jesus returns, but when he came, he didn't come in all splendor and majesty. The word nothing that is in the NIV is actually different in other translations. In the ESV, nothing is actually translated emptied. And the word emptied has kind of caused some debate in Christian circles as to what this means, because some suggest in Jesus coming to earth that he lost or had his deity, his godness, taken away from him. But as we've already established, but this can't happen. Jesus can't give up being God. Are you kind of happy about that? Jesus can't give up being God. He is God. Totally, unequivocally God. It's who he is. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father from whom all things are and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things through whom are all things and through whom we exist. So instead of that emptying being somehow that he lost his deity, what it actually means is this. He emptied himself. Is Jesus giving up his position, his chance for exaltation in heaven, in order to take on the nature of a servant, adding that to his, adding humanity to his nature. And he willingly put himself in a place of humiliation for the sake of you and I. That's what it means to be empty. That's what it means to become nothing. Paul then goes on to say that he took the very nature of a servant. I'd suggest today that being a servant is not a fashionable in today's society, where everyone's out to do their own thing and look after number one. But you know what? It's even worse in biblical times. No one in their right mind in biblical times would aspire to be a servant. In fact, you were a servant or a slave not by choice, but because you were sold into it. That's the reason that you were a servant or a slave. Nobody chose to do that, to be the lowest of the low. That's why it was seen as the lowest kind of role possible. So in choosing to be a servant, what Jesus was saying was he was making himself totally unimportant. The God of the universe making himself totally unimportant. The focus was not going to be on his prestige and on his power, but it was on loving others. The truth is, you can show more by the way you serve than your influence and power. It's where a lot of things in this world fall down, because everybody goes for influence and power. They don't go for service and for love. If people went for service and love and did what Jesus said, this world would be a completely different place to live. It's exactly what Jesus showed when he washed his disciples' feet. I don't know if you've ever tried to put yourself in that position for a minute, and you've got Jesus, the Son of God, who's just coming down the line. He's saying, I want to wash your feet. It wasn't a nice thing to do in those days. It was muddy. It was sandals, it was bare feet, it was horrible. But yet he did that to show them what they should do for others. He spent time with people in society that nobody else would. He served them. He was reminding them. Paul was reminding the church of Philippi of Jesus' mindset of being a servant. He's reminding them of the need to put others before themselves, making themselves irrelevant. How do you fancy making yourself irrelevant this morning? No power, no prestige, no influence. Just serve. Just love. Seems completely the opposite of what the world says today. But you know what? It makes all the difference. See, it's so much easier, isn't it, to tell people what to do. You go do that, you do that for me. It's so much harder to do things for other people because culture expects you just to do what you want to do. I wonder how many times you've tried to assert your authority and your power and your influence into situations to get what you wanted. Probably there's probably a few too many to count. But Jesus' mindset and example shows us that it's not about authority or influence. But it's about love and your willingness to serve others. See, being a servant starts with a choice. And that choice is from the heart to humble yourself, to make yourself nothing, just as Jesus did. Paul then goes on to talk about Jesus. He was made in human likeness. And Jesus took on the physical limitations of the human body, as we said. And he put himself in that place of service, entering into the lives of those in society to do life with them rather than to stand aloof and to be away in the corner. Do you enter into relationship with others, serving them, or do you just stand a little bit to the side and kind of watch world go on around you? We need to have the same kind of relationships as Jesus did. Be present, be available, be willing to serve and meet a need. That's what our whole vision for church is, to be a church without walls and to meet people's needs. Are we doing that? Verse 8 says, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So that third key that Paul points to about the mindset is a willingness for us to humble ourselves. If you're making notes, one of the key mindsets to be like Christ is to humble ourselves. Now Jesus is that greatest example of humility. He humbled himself, made himself unimportant, leaving behind the Father and entering into a dark world in total and unequivocal obedience. The God of the universe allowed himself to be born in a stable, not in a palace. The King of the universe was born in a stable, not in the palace, which he would be rightly deserve. He was born into poverty rather than into riches. He learned a trade. His dad was a carpenter. He had to obey his earthly parents. He had to wait for his ministry to start. It didn't just happen. He had to go through 30 years before he even started. He went through everything we do, but was without sin. He was put to death in humiliation on a cross in the greatest act of sacrifice you and I will ever see. See, Jesus' ultimate act of obedience and humbling himself was to die on the cross for the sake of humanity. Hebrews 5 verse 8, "Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." Now dying on the cross was the worst way to die. Not only was it the most excruciating death, as the Romans built a really clever way of putting people to death, making them die over a period of time as slowly but surely air was taken out of a person's body with every last breath. But it was also, even more than that, it was seen as one of the most shameful ways to die. The Romans never crucified their own people. It was just too barbaric for them to do that. In fact, the only people that they actually used that method for was for criminals, common criminals. That's why Jesus was surrounded by two other criminals at that same time. Take a moment just to think about that. Jesus, who was in heaven, who answered to no one and ruled with Father and Holy Spirit, willingly chose to leave his kingdom to humbly lay his life down for the sake of you and me, knowing even as he did so, many wouldn't care and many would continue to abuse him. And that's not just then at that time, but that is also now, even today, in 2024. Some will accept, some won't care, some will just abuse and think, ah, it doesn't matter. I wonder this morning, what would you be willing to lay your life down for? Your children? A spouse? A friend? Would you humble yourself, even if it meant humiliation? Will you humble yourself for the sake of Christ in the same way that Jesus humbled himself for you? Because let's be honest, he's worthy of at least that, of you humbling yourself before him, but so much more as well. If you truly love Jesus, you are called to pick up your cross, lay down your wants and desires, and follow him. That's what he's called us to do. And it's not an easy thing, especially in the world that we live, but it is the most productive and the thing that will change your life. And we've got the last three verses that we'll do together. It says, verse 9 to 11, "Therefore God exalted him," that's Jesus, "to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." So the final three verses of Paul's teaching to the Philippi church in this part of the chapters about the mindset of Christ focuses on God the Father's response to what Jesus the Son did. Because Jesus was willing to empty himself, become a servant, and humble himself to the point of humiliation on the cross, what happened? God exalted Jesus to the highest place. As a result of Jesus' actions, he was given ultimate glory and honor over everything. He gave him a name above all. Jesus' name cannot be matched. Jesus, or Yeshua, in the original Greek, actually means, you probably know this, but actually means God saves. So his very name means God saves. He completed what was prophesied and what was always in God's plan. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus, the name above every name. He was given the name above all. And then it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess Jesus as Lord." The result of Jesus humbling himself is that every being that has ever lived, humans, angels, creatures alike, will have to submit to the power and authority of Jesus. There will be no exception. Every person, whether they like it or not, will have to confess he is Lord. What does that mean, to confess he's Lord? It means to confess that he is God. Romans 14, verse 10 and 12. "For we all stand before God's judgment seat. it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And then that last little bit says, glory to the Father. The ultimate victory of Jesus the Son over sin and death brings glory to the Father. But also when a person confesses with his mouth Jesus is God, it also contributes to bringing glory and honor to the Father as well. So as we close, what does that mean? What do those three verses mean for us? Because it says, oh, well, that's talking about Jesus and what his name and all that. But listen to this. When we choose to have the mindset of Christ, when we choose to humble ourselves before God's mighty hand and be obedient to his voice, doing what he asks in witness and daily decisions and seeking to live for him, he will lift us up too, to a place of honor because of who we are in Christ. Not because of who you are as a person, but because of what Jesus has accomplished in you, you will be raised too. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. That's what happens. We humble ourselves, God will lift us up. We'll be given a new name. Did you know that? There's a scripture in Revelation that says you'll be given a new name. Revelation 2 verse 17. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. That will happen when you go to be with Jesus. You will get a new name. A new name that will mean something, that will be personal between you and God. And then finally, we will stand before God to give an account. No one is exempt from having to stand before the throne of God for judgment, even us as believers. But there's two ways that it happens. There's for our sins and to test our rewards. If we believe in Jesus and have accepted him as Lord and Saviour, Jesus' death and resurrection satisfies God's judgment of our sin. So although we stand there, Jesus will go, but I paid the price for them. They're good because of what I've done, because of their belief in me. The second account we give is what we've done with what God has given us. The good or the not so good as it may be. The action and our motives. And this will determine our heavenly reward. And that's why it's so important that when God tells us to do things, that we do things. And we do it for his glory and honor, because that our reward will be in heaven because of it. So in conclusion then, the mindset we cultivate is the key to success. Will be the key to the success we'll have in becoming more like Christ. You and I need to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ needs to invade our relationships. It needs to invade our thoughts and our actions. We need to be a people who are willing to give up our rights and to follow Christ, who have an attitude of servanthood and who are willingly choose to humble ourselves before God's mighty hand. Then and only then will we learn to be shaped to be more like Christ. You and I, we need the mindset of Christ, and we can have it if we follow Christ's example. Amen.